Welcome back to Nerdrotic, everybody. My name is Gary Beekler, and I come to you from nerdrotic.com, and we are here to do a live review, spoiler review of Stranger Things 3. I know it's been a while since we've done an actual television review on this channel, and it's very nice to go back to that, and it's very nice, at least from my perspective, to report that I enjoyed the hell out of Stranger Things 3. Is it perfect? No. Does it repeat a lot of things like they did in season two? Yes, I understand that. Does it display Hopper's toxic masculinity? Yes, to a beautiful perfection, in my opinion. And that was the 80s. I was just browsing over an IndieWire review where they basically didn't like Stranger Things season three because they represented a male in the 80s the way they should have. And they just thought, they found it, I quote unquote, gross. It was gross. Listen, David Harbour is not a guy I dig his politics or anything outside, like most actors, but he's a great actor, and he was great in this. And what I found fun, and I will get into spoilers, and I'm not going to go over every detail. I would have loved to have covered every episode individually, but you guys know how I feel about the binge model. And in case you don't, it works for some things. It doesn't work for others. And Stranger Things, it works, obviously. But with a lot of other shows, they get forgotten. And it's a lot of money to spend. And you lose a lot of free coverage, like dopes like me, you know, covering every episode. Imagine Stranger Things lasting for 2 months. People talking about it for 2 months. Now, it's still, according to Parrot Analytics, the most talked about thing or television show on the internet, on a streaming service. So imagine if we were talking about each episode. I know some people would hate that, but it's an unsustainable model. We can certainly do it, or the streaming services can certainly do it now while they have tons of investor money to blow. But besides the blow, they have to blow. When times get tough, they're going to find out that television shows are expensive, especially genre ones. And at least they put tons of money into this, tons of time, and it looked great. Now, I was watching it in beautiful 4K, and it is utterly beautiful. Now, I love Stranger Things season one. I think it's one of the best seasons of television. It does help that I grew up in the 80s. Okay, so here's a picture of, I'm going to embarrass myself right now. That's me in the year this placed in the back of my school bus with Tiffany Wilson, one of the Wilson twins, back in 1985. Yes, back in 1985. I looked like such a dork, and I was very beardless because I couldn't grow one. I actually couldn't grow a beard till I was 30, but I digress. Yeah, there's, we'll start out with what worked. And then I'm going to go through this, and then I'm a total dork. I want to get to you guys and hear what you guys thought. And reminder, spoilers. We're going to talk about everything and credit scene and stuff for a little while here. But the pacing for this one was perfect. It just, it didn't slow down for 1 minute. Maybe for some bickering between Joyce and Hopper, but aside from that, it was constantly moving. And that was one of the biggest problems I had with season two. I'm not a fan of season two. I own it. I'll watch it again. But that one episode where Elle takes off and becomes an X-Men and finds her sister and practices her powers, that was the worst episode. I couldn't stand it. And a very bad representation of punk rockers back then. As somebody who that picture you just saw here, I'll show you guys again. That picture you just saw, I'll show you what I look like 1 year later. So I'll bore you with this. So that's me in 85. This is me in 86. So you can tell between 85 and 86, somebody might have discovered drugs. I'm just saying, okay. It's a possibility. Just say no. Drugs are very bad for you, by the way. So the nostalgia was spot on this one, and we'll get to that, but it was paced so well. It was constantly moving. I was waiting for that typical Netflix episode for, you know, for everything to stop and everybody stop, you know, we take some random side trip, which they even did in Daredevil, which is still my favorite all-time MCU thing or anything from Netflix is Daredevil season one. So that was really well done. What really sells this, because if you think about Stranger Things too much, it's very, you know, some of the there's huge plot holes and there's some ridiculousness, but that's the eight there. That's part of the nostalgia, you know, kids running around fighting Russians. And that's what they finally decided to bring in, which was very topical at the time. And they really played the whole Cold War element, cause it got ramped up around 85. And, you know, just that opening scene where, you see the Russians trying to, burn a hole into the Upside Down and they fail. And that was a great opening. Plus they got that guy who looks just like freaking Arnold. That was brilliant, by the way. So I love the inclusion of the Russians in this. It was a bit ridiculous. And like I said, if you think about Stranger Things too much, there's a lot of, illogical things in there, but the reason I don't think about them that much is because I'm too busy being interested in very good characters and very well developed characters. And which is a lost art. So with all the crappy television I have watched over the last year, it is just a breath of fresh air to have something that's fun. Certainly it has some of those 2019 elements, where men are bad. There's Nancy working at the newspaper and all the toxic white males she's working around. And was it Jake Busey? I can't remember his name. It's Gary Busey's I can't remember, but it was good to see him being a toxic white male who meets a very unfortunate end. But other than that, it didn't really bother me that much again, because I am so invested in these characters. Even Max, who was kind of a nothing last season, something pretty horrible happens to her. And honestly, they didn't answer a question at the end. It's like, who's watching Max, by the way, because it was Billy. And the character of Billy, was done well. So we don't have the Upside Down in this season. We have, a residual from it, the Mind Flayer. So it's the thing that possessed, Will. And it was still out there. And apparently when I might be getting this wrong. Remember, I watched this all in one day. So when they cracked a hole, when the power went out, that was the Russians working underground in Hawkins. And it woke up the Mind Flayer, gave it an opening, and it started, building something. So, there's a opening scene where in the first episode, Billy is a lifeguard and he's about to get it on with Mike's mom, who's married to the biggest doofus. And yes, another thing, other than Hopper, the fathers in this are not presented very well, but that's typical of all of Hollywood. And I promise you, I will make that video someday, Hollywood's problems with fathers, because it's pretty bad, considering the whole Disney issue we're dealing with right now. So, he's about to get it on with Mike's mom, and on the way to the rendezvous that she's going to bail out on, she thinks better of it. He gets into an accident and he gets lured, down to a steel plant, an old steelworks, warehouse. And he sees, himself. And he needs to build something. So what they build is absolutely disgusting, but it was really well done. So the Mind Flayer essentially is people from the town. Now, honestly, the question out there is like, how do we not notice so many people are missing? And actually, Nerdrotic Jr. was asking me, like, how many bodies did it take to build the big Mind Flayer beast, which was disgusting and well done. And you know, you got to think, at least I think of the, I'll use I statements. I think of this series in terms of watching it like I'm watching an 80s movie. So I'm not going to get that logical about it. So I'm thinking 80 people, 30, 40, 50, 80. I don't know. But that was something he asked me. And it was really well done. There's one scene where they fight it off and it melts down and it goes into the grate and it makes you think of the Blob. And they mix in, I can't even keep track of how many movies they covered in here. My favorite thing they do But yeah, so it goes through the grate and it leaves behind some bones and stuff, which made me remind me of the remake of The Blob, which I loved quite a bit. But I love that this is the weirdest thing to like about it, but how they do the credits for all the seasons, they give you like, you know, the opening episode, Susie, do you copy? And when the credits turn into the screen, that was something that they took from Dead Zone, one of the greatest movies, one of the best Stephen King movie adaptations. And yeah, I, you know, I did write it down and I've lost my notes of how many movies they fit into this. I love they put Day of the Dead. They actually had Back to the Future because it was 85. And yes, of course, this play takes place over 1985. So we have multiple stories going on. And this was a little more like the Empire Strikes Back of Stranger Things than season two was to me. The group was kind of broken up. You know, Dusty had built his antenna because he met a girl at science camp named Susie, which has a scene at the in the eighth episode, which is freaking brilliant. The never ending story scene. We have Nancy and John. They're both interning at the paper and they're investigating an old woman whose the rats were eating fertilizer. And then it turns out, you know, it's all part of the mind flare trying to build bodies. And for some reason they eat fertilizer. And then there's a scene with the old lady eating fertilizer, which was disgusting and sad, but really, again, well done. And then of course we, Joyce has to do something neurotic. Now they dial back her neurosis quite a bit. So she was the voice of reason. I think this is one of the things that, because it was 2019 and we can't write any, no women can have any flaws right now or any complexity. But at least there was still enough of that there to make her believable. Winona Ryder, did a great job, of course, as Joyce, and her thing this season was magnets weren't sticking. And it's because of the experiments they were doing in the Russian base. And, of course, there was a giant Russian base. They right under the new mall, which is in Hawkins, Indiana, and they even covered, you know, the rise of the American mall in the 1980s, and it was like killing downtowns at the time, which was very accurate and cool. I loved the look of the mall. It was great. Again, it had a Sam Goody in there, and I used to work at Sam Goody. But my favorite, I think my favorite story within all the stories, of course there was Max and L, well, Mike and L are making out in the beginning, and then they break up and Max and L, become friends because they have to show that, you know, women can be friends too, because, in the 80s, women were never friends. There was always just a man, a woman assigned to a man, back in the 80s. So women weren't friends back then. So we had to show that there's on a rare occasion they were, because women never hung out with each other in the 80s. Okay. Sorry. That's the 2019 stuff getting in, but otherwise it was well done. Plus they needed to give Max something to do because in season two, I wasn't, you know, she was just kind of there, an added character. The only thing that's kind of a bummer is, like characters like John and Lucas kind of got put to the background. Lucas's sister, I'm blanking on her name right now, but was in it more. She was pretty funny. But I like Lucas, and I would have liked to have seen a little more Lucas. And so everybody was broken up, but my favorite story was Steve and Robin. So there's a new character named Robin who works at the ice cream place, and while she was somewhat Mary Sue-ish, you know, she figured out the code and everything. But still, she was really well played and well done, so it didn't really bother me that much. And the whole thing between, you know, them tripping when they get the I guess sodium pentothal, I'm assuming the truth drug, and they're tripping in the mall. That was freaking brilliant. That was great. And everything was just constantly moving. Again, I loved the Russians in this. So we get a defection, kind of. What happens is, Hopper. Oh, by the way, the mayor is played by Cary Elwes, which was cool to see him in there. And that guy doesn't age at all, like crazy, right? And of course, he's a toxic male in this. And they're able to get one of the Russian scientists from the base, Hopper and Joyce. And of course they bring back Murray Bauman, who was one of the highlights from season two. And he kind of does the same thing in season three that he does in season two, but I don't care. As long as it's well done, I don't care. So I know some of you, well, maybe none of you do. I don't know. But I know there's this impression that I might be like overly picky and too hard on shows. I'm actually not. It's hard to sell comic books if you're super picky. So I always, I guess the worst criticism I got at the comic store is I like too much. And that's, I guess that's a sign of how bad things are really, because I freaking loved this show. There wasn't a weak episode at all. I completely forgot it was going to be on at all. And somebody tweeted in one of our DMs, it's like, are you watching Stranger Things? I'm like, oh yeah. So it was the morning of the 4th of July. And I'm like, oh, I'll watch one episode. And I watched the whole thing in one day. So, we had the broken up stories. We had Steve and Robin, and they were in the underground base at one point, and they got caught and they escaped. L was kind of put to the background this season, but I think it was good. But after they built up the whole father, daughter, Hopper, L thing, they were separated most of the show, but this happens over a shorter amount of time. I think maybe I could be wrong. Again, I watched it all in one day. But she was dialed back and actually depowered. And by the end, you know, of course the final episode, the Battle of Starcourt, was great. And they're fighting this giant monster mind flayer inside a mall while Hopper and Joyce are down in the Russian base with Murray. Alexei, the Russian, it's very sad what happened to Alexei. He ended up getting shot by Arnold Schwarzenegger. So there's a Russian character that menaces Hopper and everybody throughout the entire season, who looks so much like Arnold. And so we don't need to see the Terminator later this year, because we already saw the Terminator. This will be a better version of it. And we saw it in Stranger Things. So well done. He even rode a motorcycle at one point, which was very well done. But that final episode was great. This is the big spoiler and the big topic of conversation. This is why I waited till Sunday. It's been out for a few days. Hopper, our beloved Hopper, has disappeared, we'll say. Now, as I'm sure many of you out there, if you follow me, you are aware of comics or comic book. If you're a comic book fan, you know, no body, no death. So I would say, especially with the Duffer Brothers, we're going to use comic book logic on this. There was an open, they, at the time when they were down there, they were trying to turn off the magnet ray or whatever the hell it is that was used to open up the upside down, what the Russians were using in Hawkins, because they had one in Russia and it wasn't working, and they had to find some place where the fabric was thinner and it was still healing in Hawkins. So they decided to build a base there, and they did it within a year, whatever, you know. Hey, it was the '80s. It was easier to get across the border back then. I used to be able to walk across the border to Tijuana without even showing my ID when I was 16, and drink a lot of Dos Equis, but the bottles are smaller because they have the little 6 ounce bottles, but whatever. Don't go to Tijuana. It's unless you're really prepared for that. So they have this final battle, and while Hopper's fighting the Terminator guy, and the array starts shooting out, and we already seen that it can it can evaporate people. So he's trapped behind the magnetic array thing, and Joyce has both keys, and this is after their mission with Murray, and he looks at her and she cries and flips the switch and he's gone. So I imagine he went through the portal, because as many of you know, I guess some people missed the after credit scene, but there was an after credit scene. I can see why you missed it, because sometimes Netflix puts it in the corner and gets you ready for that next thing before the credits are done. which they kind of should have held off on this one because I almost missed it. And we get to a, so everybody's sad. Elle's on her own, and it looks like Joyce is going to watch Elle now. I don't know who's watching Max. Did anybody catch? Maybe I missed that. Whoever's watching Max, because Billy, who was pretty much controlled by the Mind Flayer at the end, Elle gets into a memory that kind of frees him a little bit, gets into a memory of his mom when he was on the beach and when he was happy, and it kind of frees him. And then he ends up saving Elle. And Elle's powers are kind of drained. She said her battery's drained, and they even, you know, we'll get to that. But yeah, so Hopper's dead, supposedly. And Joyce and the family move out of town, and she talked about moving anyway. But it looked like she might have changed her mind, of course, right before. This is when I knew Hopper was probably going to die, because once they agreed on the date and he might have changed her mind from moving, I'm like, oh, they're definitely going to. Yeah, he's done. So I wasn't super surprised about that. But they gave a big hint, of course, in the stinger scene where they go back to Russia and you can see I can't even remember it, but the monster from season one is there, and it's trapped. The Russians have it, the Demigorgon. Why am I blanking on that now? This is what happens when you're pushing 50 on the internet, man. So they have it trapped, and they're going to feed a person to it. And one Russian goes to the gate and he goes, no, not the American. So I think it's pretty obvious that Hopper is that American, and he probably went through the portal and ended up on the other side in Russia, I'm guessing. And maybe that's where they're going to pick up season four. I don't know if they're getting a season four. Maybe they're getting a season four. I'm sure they are. This is a pretty successful show. I mean, the kids are getting old. That's the other thing, is the kids are in that really awkward puberty stage that Hollywood hates. They usually try to either rush a kid past that or skip it, but because the kids are all going to look completely different next year, especially if they take a year and a half to make it this time. And again, I don't know if they're getting a season four. I could have sworn I heard that season three was going to be it, but maybe season four is going to be it. And I hope we get a season four, because I thought this was a return to form. So yeah, the funniest scene, of course, was in episode eight when Dusty Bunn. It turns out everybody thought Dustin was lying about his girlfriend, who was a Mormon that he met at science camp, and the only way they could communicate is through ham radio. And we finally get to see that Susie is real, and she makes before they can get. Drake's equation. I might get that wrong. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. They need an equation for a code, but she won't give it up because she hasn't heard from Dusty Bun. So she makes them sing Never Ending Story, which was just great. Cause I hate that song. I hated that song then. I hate it now, but it was done well in this. So enough of me meandering. Let's get to you guys. I got a couple super chats there. And, but yeah, I'm not going to go over it in detail because I can't remember every detail. I liked it. I thought it was good. And it's really nice to talk about something I liked. So we got Nicholas Horton for $2. I want something different next season. Well, I've heard that from a lot of people, to be honest with you. And I think you probably will, because we finally found out that this thing can communicate. All right. You know, we sensed that before, but it's straight up, whatever, you know, the Mind Flayer talked to Billy. So it has wants, needs. And another thing we found out that, you know, and maybe I missed it from season two, cause it's been so long. I always thought that the Upside Down was directly connected to Elle. And the other things were directly connected to Elle. Now they are not. They are clearly not, because that thing is closed off. And I always, you know, I know the running theory for season one, of course, was if you kill Elle, then the Upside Down will go away. But I don't think so now. I don't think so now. Elliot Nelson, $10. I enjoyed the season, but I am a bit tired of the boys just being comedy fodder while the girls solve every problem. Looking forward to your thoughts. that's pretty much everything now. I mean, honestly, we can almost turn off our TVs at this point. It did get a little bit annoying. And the only thing, like I said, that kept me from being annoyed was that the girls were at least likable, and they didn't, while the boys were comedy fodder, they didn't, for the most part, disrespect their characters. They kept them within character. What's happening in so many things right now with the whole Time's Up Me Too era is the characters are not acting. We're getting new characters, and they're not acting at all like they were in previous seasons of so many shows. I've lost count of how many shows. At least they stayed in character with this one. Blue-Eyed Scorpio, $4.99. By the way, thank you for the, so since I'm not going to get, I'm probably not going to get a silver play button from YouTube when I hit 100,000, because I get a feeling, when I chatted with something and I got my little check mark, I chatted with somebody at YouTube and they were like, I don't know if you're going to get one or not. I'm like, okay, well, thank you for your honesty. I appreciate that. Blue-Eyed Scorpio sent me a little silver play button. And by the way, that one means more to me than anyone I would get from YouTube. So thank you. Halfway through the final episode, I'll be back. But if you notice, we never bitch about Eleven as a female lead, because female lead has never was the issue. It never was. Elle is well played, consistently played. She's not this perfect thing. They still have her, this innocence, which I don't know, which is considered a bad thing nowadays, but because she was, you know, imprisoned for so long. No, Elle is a very likable character. Actually, all of them were. I even kind of liked Max, but Robin, for instance, if Robin wasn't likable, she would have been a total insufferable Mary Sue in this. But the actress who played her was really charming, and charm goes a long way. It goes a long way. Remember that charm is it. And like, what does Robert Downey Jr. have more of than anybody on the planet? Charm. And you can overlook a lot of things with that. Johnny Midnight for $2. I love Billy's redemption arc and backstory. I did too. Especially, you know, after the way he was in last season. And, you know, basically like this, you know, it was funny. Nerdrotic Jr. was in there for the last scene and he's all, wow, they pulled that. That's better than the Martha scene. And that's the thing I thought of too, when Elle was reminding him, is like, I saw your mother and she looked like this and she had this kind of hat on. He's all, yeah, that was better than the Martha scene. I was thinking of the Martha scene too. Very good, Nerdrotic Jr. He's a smart kid, that one. Megan Mullins for $2. Billy was Henry Bowers this season. I loved it. Yes. 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 Thank you for the $2, Megan. I appreciate it. Kyle Johnston for $5. Never ending story. And I believe 30, were taken. I think it was show at the end. I think it was shown at the end. 30 were taken. That's right. You know what? Thank you, Kyle. It took me a second to register in my very drug-addled brain. So he said, never ending story. And I believe 30 were taken. I think it was shown at the end on that cutting edge TV. I love that, by the way, that cutting edge. Because that is the 80s had those kind of shows where they always did, weird stories like that. That's where... Maury Povich got his start doing a show like that. Belinda, what's up, Belinda? How's it going, Belinda R? Hey, Gary, I really don't care much about Stranger Things anymore. I just wanted to make sure everyone checks out Dark on Netflix. Go watch it. Yeah, Dark, I've heard very good things about it. I've heard very, very good things about it. So I'm definitely going to check that. Actually, Doomcock was the one who was telling me to go check out Dark. So I think I will. But Belinda, The Expanse is coming, and I can't wait to do some Expanse news. This is for you, Belinda. That is my highest priority at Comic-Con, is to go to the Expanse panel and give you guys some long overdue Expanse videos, because there's been nothing. So I'm expecting we're going to find out when this, we're going to get a trailer. We're going to find out when the season. Expanse is a great show. Megan Mullins again for $2. Rest in peace, Alexi, world's most dangerous man. Yes, he was. And he just wanted to go get a corn dog and he got shot. That was really sad. That was really sad. But you know what's really sad is they killed the Arnold Schwarzenegger guy. He only kind of looked like Arnold until the very end when Hop bashed his head and he had some gash right here. And that for some reason, the way they caught that shot, I'm like, oh man, does that guy look like Arnold right there? Yeah. But they don't cast guys like that anymore for some reason. Brother Malachi for $20 for the upcoming Inquisition. Check It's Gundam's recent video on Disney Spider-Man mess can't link because YouTube. Someone claiming to be a mother typed in the comments. I will check it. And I know the somebody claiming to be the grandmother contacted Mecha Random, but that'll be for the Inquisition. That's on Doomcock's channel in about an hour. Doomcock and I will be talking about all the news of the week. Farana, for $1.99. Thank you for the donation. No comment, but please put one in the chat if you can. Kyle Johnston for $2. Arnold always referred to Hopper as the American. Yes, he did. You're right, Kyle. See, Kyle caught that. Kyle, you know, listen, again, I don't catch everything. I'm going to watch it again because I want to. And again, it's not like they reinvented the wheel with this. They didn't do anything. The only thing new they did was not go to the Upside Down and not go on some weird meandering side story. They just kept it going. That's what the show I just talked about, The Expanse. The first season is paced like that. A little setup and then crap goes sideways and it just goes for like 10 episodes. That's what I like. Only in the early seasons of the Game of Thrones do I like a lot of talking, and that's only if the dialogue is good. C. Walker, $94, $2. C. Farina for $24.99. Again, no comment. C. Farina, put a comment in there. But thank you for the very generous super chat. Thank you. And C. Walker, $94 for $2. Sean Astin in flashback. Yes, Samwise. That was sad. That was sad. And he was one of the better parts of last season. My wife and I used to party with his stepbrother. That's a story for another day. Johnny Midnight for $2. Artax. No, never ending story. No, I won't sing it. I'm really a terrible singer. Although I did sing in my band, but it was because our singer always flaked. Somebody had to sing at practice. St. Christopher, $9.99. Toxic masculinity still has to be the underlying true bad guy. All the dads are bums or evil, except Hopper, who still needs to learn to overcome it. Hopper digressed in the beginning, and he was being a little comical, but there was a turning point about halfway through. And Comics Division and I talked about this last Friday, like when Joyce gave him that advice to talk to L and he didn't use it. I thought that was good. When he was actually right about Alexi taking off and then he doesn't leave that way. I mean, they didn't go full in on that one, but yes, it's still there. St. Christopher, I'm not going to argue with it. Believe me. What I need to do is really go through, all the shows and write it down because it's in so many shows, and of course it's easy drama, the whole bad father trope. But the thing is, it's not being that even nowadays. That's why it really sticks out. It's not like any of us are saying, oh, well, we need to portray every father as an angel. There's an obvious overcorrection going on right now. And it's just like even things out, but that's Hollywood is where trends go to die. It just is. Anthony, Mary Ashby for $2. Does Eleven lose her power? Is her mom connected to it? Connected to the that maybe. That's interesting. But her battery was, she said her battery was low to Hop and then she couldn't even get a teddy bear from a top shelf from her closet. But that could be emotional too. kind of like when Peter Parker lost his powers in Spider-Man 2. It was like emotionally connected. $20 from Anthony Lasago. How are you, sir? It seems like writing is failing aside for VFX and atmosphere. Disappointed there was no limits, no hints of anything deeper. Just close the gate again. Spider-Man seemed pretty meh as well, though I'm an automatic Spidey fan. Yeah, we'll talk about Spidey on the Inquisition. I gave it a 7 out of 10, but as far as comic accuracy, it's completely wrong. Everything is wrong about Spider-Man, but the movie by itself, if you look at it objectively, was okay. It was okay. Raindrops keep falling on my head. Speaking of Spider-Man 2, raindrops keep falling on my head. That was a great scene in Spider-Man 2. $2. What do you think of the Wonder Woman bit? Woke? Yeah, a little bit. You know, you can't just listen to Mike on this because, listen, there were offices with a bunch of dudes who would give the woman intern shit in the 80s. Absolutely. But if you look at Hollywood now, you would think it was everybody all the time. It just wasn't. Raindrops keep falling on my head. There were definite little teeny woke moments in it, but there isn't everything. There isn't everything now because Hollywood just cannot tell a gosh damn story. But mostly I didn't have a problem with anything. With the Wonder Woman thing, I was just happy they were showing comic books, and at least they did show a good Wonder Woman comic book. So that's fine. And you know what? The thing is, raindrops keep falling on my head. Do you know why Wonder Woman was a very successful comic book and sold lots of comic books over the years? Because mostly boys bought it. I know, but you know, women did too, which is great. There, you know, girls did read comic books back in the 80s too. Captain Spire for $5. I never watched Stranger Things, but I was always into a fan of the SCP stories and lore. Secure, contain, protect. Yet I fear they are going woke. Well, everything is, you know. I fear that for The Expanse season 4. I hope it doesn't happen. But considering, I was expecting a lot worse. And maybe my expectations are just being, you know, so when I'm told a pretty basic, normal story, I'm happy. I will consider that. That's why I liked Aquaman. Aquaman was just like your most basic superhero movie ever. A story told 1,000 times. And I enjoyed it because it was just there to entertain me. And, I was listening to Robert Meyer Burnett's live stream today, and he was listing off all the movies that came out in 1986. I can't list them here. Go look at a list. It is, and then compare it to this year. And you will see classic after classic on that list. As a matter of fact, one of the biggest flops was my favorite movie of that year, which is Big Trouble, Little China, which was a flop. But so many movies were good because they just told stories. I mean, that's a lost art right now. So when we get something like this, look, Stranger Things is innocent and it's fun. You know, it's gory at times, but it's also made for kids to watch basically on a poltergeist level. You know, I remember my mom took all of my little friends when we graduated sixth grade to see Poltergeist, and it was great. A bunch of 12-year-olds, a bunch of popcorn, a bunch of soda. It was great. And my mom had this big station wagon and she piled in six of us. And we had the seats in the back where they were facing backwards that I always get car sick in. Yeah, it's good times. Good times. So it's an innocent show. So it doesn't really go overly woke. And that's what I like about it. Your channel is amazing. Really love the paranormal coverage on Nerdrotic Live. Also, Clockwork Badger, $20. Thank you. Yes. So I have another channel, an alternate channel. It's called Nerdrotic Live, where I do everything live there. And I cover a lot of paranormal stuff. It wasn't intended to be that, but it's kind of turned into that. So that's fine. I love it. So if you wanted to subscribe there, and if you want to subscribe here, I'd greatly appreciate it. I occasionally cover stuff I like, and The Expanse is coming too. Correction, dug deeper into comment chain. It's aunt that was adopted into the family, still gives important info though. Brother Malachi, I will check that out for the Inquisition. Thank you very much. I appreciate the $5 and the info, my friend. Johnny Midnight, $2, Big Trouble in Little China, cult classic, not flop. Well, I agree with you 100%. It's in my top five favorite movies, but it didn't was not a financial success in 1986. I wish I could tell a different story, but it wasn't. I watched it in the theater five times though, so I did everything I could. But how much were tickets back then? 86? $4? $3? $3-$4, something like that. But absolutely cult classic. But you know, my favorite movies are movies like The Adventures of Baron von Munchausen, Excalibur, Conan, Big Trouble, Little China. Those are my kind of favorite movies. So we will get to a little bit of the chat here. Monster Squad. Yeah. Listen, the attention to detail that Stranger Things gets to the 80s. And I was, in 1985, I was 15. So I'm right around what these kids age were. I was much cooler than these kids though. They're pretty dorky. I was dorky too, but not that dorky. They're, you know, I didn't go to science camp, but I wasn't smart enough. So I was like a dumb nerd, kind of like I am now, a dumb nerd. FYI, package en route. Peter Macon loves your idea. He does. That's awesome that you, so my idea for Peter Macon is I want Orville action figures. I want Orville action figures. So, hopefully the Orville comes out with a Blu-ray, because this is, some of my favorite packaging for a Blu-ray right here. I've never watched this. I can just watch it on Netflix, but I love this. And, they did one for Hitchhiker, and I know they've done this for other stuff, but to make it look like a VHS. And they even have the price tag on it. And as a person who worked at Sam Goody, the warehouse record stores, like all through my teenage years, and worked in video departments, I love the very ending scene where Steve and Robin are trying to get a job at the video store, which is very cool. We're probably gonna have to wait a year and a half to get another season. I'll keep an eye on the news. But thumbs up for me. Not perfect. I'd say 8 out of 10. Definitely recommend taking your time. If you're a fan of season one and you were kind of turned off by season two, this is better. This is much better than season two. Is this as good as season one? I don't know. I got to give it some time. I don't want to be prisoner of the moment, which, you know, I can be guilty of, as so many other people are. So many other people are. Nicholas Horton, the new Mulan trailer, no Mushu dragon, and gotten rid of the toxic male masculinity, subject to discussion on the Inquisition. Sure. The only thing I know about Mulan is the sauce, the Rick and Morty, the Szechuan. That's it. That's the only thing I know. I know nothing about that movie. I never saw the original in theaters, but I'm not surprised. They can't show. That's why I'm surprised they still presented Hopper the way they did. I was actually shocked that they kept him Hopper. I'm also a little surprised. I thought they would kill him like halfway through the season. I'm like, there's no way they can let a character like that go anymore, which sucks. I had a conversation with Mrs. Nerdrotic about this today, and she even sees it. She's not hypersensitive to this stuff at all, and she barely pays attention because she's a hairdresser, and she pays attention to hairdresser stuff. But she does handle the Instagram account. By the way, please follow me on Instagram at Nerdrotic. All the PO box stuff shows up there. By the way, and we're starting to post. I went to the PO box. I got an amazing painting. I've got some amazing stuff from you guys that I'm going to show off on Monday. I can't wait. Rob Ballin for $2. The show was woke-ish, but still good. Yeah, compared to other things I've seen on the woke level, I'd say 5 out of 10. It's still there, but it wasn't, it didn't take me out. But yeah, I agree with your assessment there, Rob. Anthony Lasago, $5. Season 4, the Mind Flayer is actually unwoke mind energy. Solution end up making everyone get woke so that it kills the Mind Flayer. You think? Anthony, my hope is it's woke is over by the time we get season 4. That Hollywood sees the error of their ways. They see that they're alienating people. Will this happen? I don't know. But I think an empty Galaxy's Edge, I think, you know, listen, they had to, Spider-Man, an MCU movie had to come out to save the box office to make it as good as the crappy, as last year, which was crappy too. Hollywood's in trouble. The only movies that are any kind of success are reboots of reboots and MCU films, and the MCU is not going to carry them forever. I think the future is television, is streaming. Honestly, if I had to choose, I would definitely pick Stranger Things over Spider-Man. I would watch Stranger Things over Spider-Man. And the fact that those words are coming out of my mouth is crazy because I, you know, Spider-Man, yeah. After Russia, he will no longer be the Hopper we know and love. He'll probably, Fat Gandalf, my guess is PTSD. He won't be in. The thing is, though, they're done if they don't have Hopper in a large portion of the season. Like, that will not be received well because he's clearly the favorite character, which, you know, sorry. I mean, we like Joyce. Joyce is okay. But the reason I watch this is for L, number one, and then Hopper, number two. And then I like Dustin and Steve. You know, I like Robin now too. So there we go there. I'm going to read a couple more chats before I take off because I got to get ready for the next show. And I want to keep these reviews. I'm going to keep, we'll see. I'll keep it up on the channel. We'll see how it does. I'm not even sure how many people are even watching right now. I wasn't even paying attention. That's a pretty good number. Dennis Hopper? No. Dennis Hopper was a bad father. Okay. I didn't know much about, I was a huge Dennis Hopper fan, like the biggest Dennis Hopper fan in the world. And then I read that article that came out after he died and found out what kind of a guy he was. And I stopped being a Dennis Hopper fan immediately because he was not a nice guy. Dusty Bun was great. Dusty, that kid is good. That kid is a very good actor. I like Dennis Hopper in a lot of things. Okay. I like his portrayal, but as a human being, not the best guy in the world. And I had no idea. They kept that hidden for a long time. Question, Gary, can one channel hurt the other with regards to YouTube policy? Does Nerdrotic Live in any way affect Nerdrotic negatively? Thanks, PJ. Orville Nation, $5. No, not in no way whatsoever. YouTube actually encourages multiple channels. If you got a channel, it's actually very good to have an alternate channel just in case something happens to your live streaming or something. But no, it's I created that out of necessity, and it's been it's nice because I don't when you have a channel that starts to become successful, you have to adhere to the rules of the algorithm, which aren't written down. You got to figure it out. That channel, I do whatever I want, which is great. Which is great. Let's see here. Oh God, don't ruin Dennis Hopper for me. Don't read any interviews on him then. Just don't read the Rolling Stone article. Don't read anything. Just leave it as it is. The man's passed away, so nothing else is happening anyway. But it ruined it for me. I love ensemble work, bigger than some of its parts. Yeah, me too. I'm mostly a fan of. Again, I'll mention, I have no shame. I love the show Buffy. I know I'm not a fan of Joss Whedon anymore at all. But I like ensemble shows. I like Firefly. You know, I like Farscape. That's probably why Guardians is my, you know, it goes back and forth between Winter Soldier and Guardians, but it's probably Guardians is my favorite MCU film, which is, you know, Guardians is Farscape basically. So, what's up, Man of Action? The show is a swan song. I don't expect another. That'd be interesting if they left it with that. Hey, they might. If Netflix runs out of investor money, it certainly does. I love Buffy. Am I going to give Joss a second chance? Probably not. I mean, like, I don't pay attention to him personally, but he's doing that show, The Nevers, on HBO. I'll look at it, but just knowing what I've heard out of it, I don't know. I mean, I'll try it. I'll try everything. What if Bald Eagle is the American? Maybe he took up the fights straight to the Ruskies. Perhaps he's at their gate to look for Hop. Says goat bacon for $20. Yeah, because they didn't really tell you what time it was. And that's a good point. Maybe Hop's trapped in the Upside Down. And I don't know how he'd survive that. But maybe that was a time jump. And yeah, maybe. It's always a possibility. Thank you, Goat Bacon, for $20. Goat Bacon. That's brilliant. Bald Eagle was funny. Azu Kana. I wish Stranger Things would have ended on this season and leave Hopper dead for good. Now he is has too much plot armor for me to care further about him. That's interesting. Yeah. Maybe they do keep him dead. Maybe they do. And maybe that's got something to do with, I don't know. Maybe they'll get L's powers back Azu, we will find out, but it's going to be a long time. It's going to be a long time. Do you think they're going to make Will gay next season? And if they do, is it pandering? It depends on how they present it. Gold 818. If they make it a natural part of the story, it certainly looks like they're, I don't know. They've never insinuated. He clearly doesn't look interested in girls, but he's also gone through like a lot of trauma. That's kind of what I've assumed about it. I don't know. We'll have to see it. We'll have to see how they pull it off in the story. You can tell when it's, a great example, and Doomcock's brought it up, is the Orville has, it's alien, but it's a gay relationship that's done very well and natural, much better than the one they do in Star Trek Discovery, which looks very, very pandery. So it depends on how they present it. All right, we're going to leave it right there. And thank you all for joining me. Please head on over to Doomcock's channel in about 40 minutes. I will be joining him there, and we are going to discuss the Ollie situation with Disney, which is a hot topic right now. And we're going to discuss Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. And I'm sure we'll go over the Little Mermaid kerfuffle that's going on. And Tom Holland's comments and all that other, and Spider-Man. I don't know if Doomcock's seen Spider-Man or not, but we'll talk about everything, and maybe we'll talk more about Stranger Things. But thank you everybody for joining me here. I greatly appreciate it. Again, thumbs up. I thought it was good. Not perfect. Certainly it's got wokeness in it like everything does. And it's just, I guess what made things better for me again was good characterization, good dialogue, likable characters. That's all I really ask for. I'm not that hard to please. And thank you again for joining me. Please like, share, subscribe. Go to nerdrotic.com, which is my website, for my live stream schedule. I will be back on this channel live tomorrow for the Nerdrotic Nooner. Until then, may the free folks sing songs of your greatness. And have a great, great day. And I hope your 4th of July was awesome. Take care.